keep grasping for breath this morning. I don't know why. Maybe I'm feeling more relaxed around you people. That'd be dangerous, wouldn't it? So, no. Hey, you know, last week we started a series entitled Finding Our Way Back to God. And, you know, a lot of us, the last 18 months have just lost many times our connections with God. Did you guys been touched at all by COVID-19? Yeah, okay, a few of you have. Have you heard of COVID-19? Okay, you have, all right. But you know what? There's been a lot of things that have kind of thrown us into a tizzy the last 12 or 18 months, and sometimes we look back and we think, man, what happened to that situation or to that problem or to those people? It's easy to lose connection. We probably all experienced it a little bit at some times in our lives, be they friends or relatives or college roommates or high school friends. Sometimes we just drift apart. One minute we feel connected and together with them, and then the next minute we've lost that connection. And it can happen so very, very easily in our lives. We just lose connections. You go through experiences, life-changing circumstances, things just happen. You got a new job. You got married. Let's see, what else is there? You had a baby. You got relocated with your job. Your life has just been going so good, you've kind of forgot about God. Not only that, we live in a world today which bombards us with all these things that compete for our time. I don't know how many of you drove to church this morning. How many of you passed a soccer field? How many of you saw kids playing on that soccer field this morning? All right. You understand. So many things competing for our time. I got to go get my hair done. I got to care for this child that's crying. I've got to do this little extra thing for work. I've got this to do and that to do. I got to watch the World Series. You know, all those things that can kind of fill our schedules. Well, if you have looked at your life recently and you're wondering, how have I lost these connections? I've got good news for you this morning. Because in this series, we are discussing five habits. Five habits that all of us can participate in to help us reconnect. Or in some cases, just maintain connection with God. Last week, we talked about the habit of... Oh, gee, I got to go get that sermon and redo it. About the habit of... participation, that's right. Get that young lady a candy bar. It gives us an opportunity to come together and helps us connect with what God is doing around us. It's where the me turns to we, right? And that we are part of a bigger family, a bigger story. That's right. God is revealing us to us what He's doing, and He is inviting us to participate. Right, right. This week we're going to look at a second habit to help us navigate through life. And this will help you in your relationship with God and with all of your other relationships. If you have a spouse, it'll help you with that relationship. If you have kids, it'll help you with that relationship. If you struggle at times relating to your parents, it'll help you with that relationship. If you have stress or anger or anxiety, it'll help you with those things. It'll help you deal with loneliness. It'll help you in your sexual life. It'll even help you in your relationship with one another in church. It'll make your life better and your relationships better, right? All right. And if I know anything about you folks, I know you don't want to waste your time. You want to live life to its fullest. And you understand that a very big part of that desire to live life to your fullest comes from being close to God. You cannot participate, Rita, because you got the script right there. Now, come on. So today I want to cover habit number 2, the habit of reading the Bible. In fact, it may be the key habit in cultivating intimacy with God and to deepen your relationship with Him. When we discipline ourselves to the habit of reading our Bible, we are investing in the personal side of our relationship with Almighty God. For over time, as we connect with Him, our heart becomes more like His heart. When His heart breaks, our heart will begin to break. When we see Him experiencing or understanding that He has joy, those things will bring us joy. When He moves to compassion, our hearts will be moved to compassion. It is flat out one of the major ways that God speaks to us through reading our Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God. Everything we read from these pages, from the beginning of the book of Genesis to the very end of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, comes directly from God. And when you open this book, the creator of the universe, y'all better start smiling here, because the creator of the universe is inviting you into relationship. He wants to have conversation with you. He loves you. And all He's saying is, you open this book and you start to read, and you will understand how much I really love you. If there's anybody lonely here this morning, if there's anybody feeling unloved, if there's anybody here feeling rejected this morning, you open this book and it is a book of love written for you. When you open it, the creator of the universe invites you into a dialogue. He wants to develop the personal relationship that you and He can have. He speaks to us through His word. And every time you read this book, God is actually saying something to you. It may not be an epiphany. It may not even be the answer that you want. But He is talking with you. And here's the thing. If you're willing to and read, He will speak through His word. And it will benefit you in life-altering ways. In life-altering ways. There's a lot of reasons that I could give you to read the Bible. Too many to cover this morning, so we will focus on 4 that will allow you to understand the benefit of opening this book and allowing it to guide and to direct you. The first thing that this book does is it feeds your soul. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 4, chapter 4, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is not just empty words on a page. Every word comes from the mouth of God. We needed to live. It is like food for our souls. Our body needs food, just like our souls need this word. How many of you have ever gone hungry and felt hunger pains? Oh, now come on. Even though you didn't need to. The guy that's got all those cattle back there, he always has beef, but you've felt hungry, haven't you, Charlie? Yeah, and you've had hunger pains. And you know you need to eat. What that does is you eat and it takes that food and your body converts it into energy and it keeps you going. No food. No energy, no energy, no go. That's how it works. Now, I was kidding on the side. I guess I got enough time this morning, but you notice. Not the only pregnant person here. All right, I see it. All right. Every day I have choices to make, right? I could eat lunch, I could have pizza, all right? And at dinner time I could have hamburgers and French fries and fried chicken, or I could eat some healthy thin bread with meat on it and lettuce and cheese and all that stuff. And at dinner time I could have fish and beans. Ooh, beans. No, I like, they're okay. I have a choice to make. And if I eat the right things, I get energy to keep me going and going. If I eat the wrong things with a little sugar coating on it, it may get me high for a few minutes, but then ultimately, what'd you say, doctor? Low, that's right. That's right. See, the reality is that food mirrors our spiritual reality. Our souls need to be fed and nourished. And when we run low on spiritual nourishment, that's when the world around us becomes a much more fearful and threatening place. And it feeds our anxieties and our worries and our insecurities. The Bible is instead like a storehouse of spiritual food. We are not designed to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And some of you are here today, and that's exactly what you need. For far too long, your souls have been spiritually malnourished. You've chosen the pizza and the hamburgers and French fries and fried chicken instead of the fish and green beans and the good for you sandwiches that you could eat. Oh, reading the Bible is a habit-forming thing that takes time. And I've looked at my own life, and it's a discipline that I don't regret practicing. It can be life-changing. I've had seasons when I've fallen out of the habit, but I always go back. You see, I understand the value of that healthy food. I know how it draws me closer to God, and I know it feeds my soul. I want that. And I want that for my wife. And I want that for my children. And I want it for every one of you. To be able to open that book and allow it to nourish your soul. I want your souls to feed on it so that as you feed on it, you are more than satisfied rather than emptiness. because heaven knows there is enough emptiness and lack of fulfillment in our world. The Bible feeds our souls, but it also gives us wisdom. It gives us wisdom. Do you ever need wisdom? I know you're all like, oh, you do. Very good. How many of you are married? All right, you usually need wisdom in that realm of life, whether you're 1 year married or... Well, how long have we been married, Lord? Lord, how long have we... 29 years. I think after 29 it stops, but no. We all need wisdom. And you know what? If you run a company or you're part of a company, you need wisdom. If you're trying to figure out your career or your job, you need wisdom. If you've ever had a relative that shows up to family gatherings and all they do is talk politics, you're going to need wisdom. Lisa, it really does get better, all right? Even if you aren't a Christian this morning, when you start to open the Bible, you will get wisdom. And you will make, even as an unbeliever, you will make your relationships better. Your doing life will be better. It is full of wisdom that you can use. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9 says, "It is better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home." Wisdom. Didn't hear anybody say amen. So, all right. The guys are smart. I mean, they've been married longer than 30 years. But you know that's true. Right? Right. A wife, a woman said that. That's right. But you know what else is true, man? You are not off the hook here. The same goes for a quarrelsome husband or a child or a roommate. We may have some people, in fact, this afternoon, relocating to the upper corner of their attic. There's also Matthew 7, verse 12. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to. My goodness, if we all practice that, imagine how different our world would be. This place would be full on Sundays. And I know some of you object to that because, you know, you're kind of looking, sounding like a correction book here. All scriptures inspired by God and useful to teach us what is right and to help us realize what's wrong. And I know some of you hear that and you object, saying, well, it makes the Bible sound like a rule book, waiting to correct us as soon as we step out of hand. Boom! Or do something wrong. But that's not what this book is really about. Heard a story a while back now about a lady. She grew up in a family. There was three girls. Three. Her dad and family, I guess you'd say, liked camping. And so they would go out camping quite a bit. And there was three girls in this family, all under the age of 12. And one time they were going out camping, and their dad decided to set up camp a half a mile away from the campsite bathroom. Wasn't thinking, I guess. Three girls, all under the age of 12, campsite, campground, half a mile away from the campsite bathrooms. Larry, you know that's a mistake, right? All right. Well, sure enough, she said she remembered they camped out, and she didn't know why. You know, Dad has three daughters under 12, and you know that why they would do that. And inevitably, she said every time they would go camping, one of them would have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. All right. On that trip, it happened to be her. And she said there was no way she was going to get her little six-year-old self up in the dark and walk a half mile to a campsite bathroom. So what do you think she did? She woke up her mom. She remembered her mom getting out of her sleeping bag and grabbing the one tool that would help them find their way in the dark. Flashlight, very good. Her mom used it to flash onto the path before them. And she said she could remember vividly to that day her mother at one point taking a flashlight and shining it down on a huge root that had come out of the ground where a tree, you know, trees need roots, and the root was coming out of the ground. And her mother said, watch out for that. Don't want you to trip and fall and hurt yourself. That is what the Bible is for us. You know this. There are people out there in the light of day stumbling in darkness and have gotten lost. They are tripping over all sorts of things. They're looking for something, anything that will guide them, and the Bible becomes their flashlight. In Psalms 19, 105, it says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. It's useful to teach us what is true, to correct us when we're wrong, and to teach us what is right. It gives us wisdom. Not only does it correct us to show us what is wrong with our lives, it doesn't correct us to show us what's wrong in our lives, or to make us feel bad, or to point out our flaws or shortcomings. It is there for the sake of giving us freedom. Freedom from sin, from the things that can trip us up in life. Freedom from our shame, our bondage. Freedom to the things that have the potential to cause us to trip and to fall. So when we read the Bible, we are feeding our souls. We give wisdom, or it gives wisdom to us, and it reveals more of who God is and who we are. See, the most common misconception is that this is a rule book. Mike, I happen to know that on Friday, you broke the rule found in Acts chapter 3. No, it's not a rule book. What this book really is, from the story, from the beginning of the first chapter in the book of Genesis to the last chapter in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, this book is a story. It is God's story. It is an epic story. It is a heartbreaking story. And yet it's a beautiful and redemptive and rescuing story. It is a story about God who loves us and who is pursuing us. And it is a story about God, how He relates to His people. And you, and I are all part of the narrative that continues to play out through this book. Heavens, we live in a world that's broken because of sin. We've been separated from God, but because of His great love, He has sent His Son to bring us back. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the that He gave His only so that whosoever believes in him. Come on now. Whoever believes in him, but have everlasting life. It's a story. And we are living in that story. We are being pursued by a merciful and compassionate God who loves us unconditionally. When you read the pages of Scripture, you're just not reading a story that happened to somebody else. You are reading a story that is happening now, and you are living in it, and you are part of it. Gee, why can't somebody say amen? All right, now the next time we'll try it without me prodding you, all right? You are living the story of God and you are an active participant. Amen. All right, we're getting there. We are living this story out. We're learning how and why He created us to be. And at the same time, we're learning as we read about Him. The Bible feeds our soul. It gives us wisdom. It reveals more of who God is and who we are and how we are uniquely connected. Now, up until now, the Bible, as far as our conversation has gone, is it's a personal habit to read it. What you develop personally on your own when you read through this book. But if we stop there, that would be limiting. If you don't gather together with other believers, we kind of miss part of what the Bible is here for. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:13, focus on reading the Scriptures to the... Oh, one more time like you mean it. Oh, now like you mean it. Sure. We'd get done so much faster if you people would just be a little more with it, all right? Paul said that. Focus on reading the Scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Think about this book for just a few minutes as a football playbook, okay? Oh, man, I liked that Pitt Clemson game yesterday. Wasn't that great? All right. Yeah, all right. Football, playbook. You know what? Player could take that thing home and read it, and he could go out in his backyard and he could practice blocking and running and tackling. Some teams really need to practice tackling. But you know, it only gets them so far. They only are really benefiting when they get together with the team. They get together and they start blocking together and running together and passing and catching and all that stuff. Reading the playbook and running the plays isn't really what it's about. It's working them together as a team. And when you learn something from Scripture and you bring it to church, when you bring it to Bible study, you know what? You come to the table with something to give. And when I learn something, I come to the table with something to give. You have something to bring to the table. Because you read and you've learned, and we all need that. We need to understand, hey, how did you read that? How, and that really, that's how, wow, God did that. I can't count the number of times people sent me notes, texts, emails, telling me something they've learned in the Scriptures and wanted to encourage me with it. And that impacts my life. Because we experience something together that we can't always experience on our own. When we learn in a group setting, there's a sense where we learn privately and personally, but we also are helping to connect others with God when we gather together to share. Now let me, there are a few books in the Bible. Leviticus, spelled L-E-V-I, Leviticus, you know that one, okay? And Numbers and Deuteronomy. Sometimes, you know, those are pretty challenging. Sometimes somebody's got to prepare before they teach. But the only way we can really learn is to get into the habit of reading this book. I don't know how many of you have a year-long reading plan to get you through the book, the Bible. If you do this morning, you just keep doing what you're doing. It's great. Keep reaching into the Word. If you kind of got off the path at one point or you've never done it, I got a challenge for you. Oh, do I have? No. For the next 21 days, you know how long it takes to develop a habit? I just told you. 21 days. Do you know how to make it a lifestyle? 90 days, okay? So we're going to get you started on the habit, okay? 21 days. Would you get on a Bible reading plan? I'll give you the plan. It's free, okay? Starting tomorrow. Oh, let's start today, okay? Since you're in the mood and thinking about it. Starting today. I want you to read John chapter 1. And for the next 21 days, I want you to read through the book of John. And guess what? When you get to the 21st day, what chapter will you be on? 21. How many books or how many chapters are in John? 21. There you go. You formed a habit. And you know, if you keep doing it through Christmas, you'll be on your way to making it a lifestyle. Not hard. Not hard at all. So we read the Bible. We're called to read the Bible. God's invitation to speak to us. See for yourself how God's Word feeds your soul, how it gives you wisdom, how it reveals more of who God is and who you are, and how it uniquely will bring us together. This is not a checklist. It's not some rigid set of rules. It is telling us the fact that nothing is greater, nothing that we could do could draw us closer to God. He says, God says, make it a habit, and He will teach us what breaks His heart, and that will begin to, it will break God's heart, which will begin to help us understand and break our heart. We will understand what brings God joy, and we will do those things that brings God. And we will see how God acts compassionately, which will cause us to, hey, we are finally getting, I bet you if we stayed another hour, we'd get it all taken. No. You will draw closer to God. And He will draw closer to you.